What's up, people? Adam Hunter here, giving you a special podcast on Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N. Today I'm talking to one of my favorite people, Heather Jo Clark, catching up with Heather, seeing how she's doing. She's a great girl. She's coming off a win in Invicta. When is she going to fight again? Who knows? I want to thank our sponsor, Sparks Cannabis. It's a vertically integrated, family-owned and operated cannabis company out of California's Central Valley. They want to remove the stigma and stereotypes that are associated with cannabis by showing how cannabis fits into the motto, everyone, every day. They have higher quality products and they strive to provide curated experiences rather than a couch locked high. Their Excite and Exhale product lines do that by focusing on the strains, terpenes, and how they interact to give you that curated experience. I'm all about it. I smoke this stuff. It's awesome. Highly recommend it. Okay, you got to try out their Sparks Lights, their pre-rolls, premium 2-to-1 CBD THC flower. Same premium flower with less kick. All right? They love the planet. I love the planet, which is why they strive to be as eco-friendly as possible. And they're proud to be one of the first farms to have technologically advanced greenhouses that are completely solar-powered, which helps them reduce their carbon footprint. They also use state-of-the-art LED lighting, the highest quality nutrients, and a reverse osmosis water system to remove contaminants from plants. Check them out at www.sparkscannabis.com. That's SparksCannabis.com. Instagram at Sparks Cannabis. Also, Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California, so get it delivered right to you. Go to speedweed.com. They got everything. They got great marijuana, they got CBD, they have THC sex lube, which I love using with my wife. Highly recommend that. Try them out, speedweed.com. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off, $100 or more. Speedweed.com, they're awesome. Me, I just got off a cruise ship, I was doing comedy, I got heckled by like 9 6-year-olds, like a gang of 5 and 6 and 7-year-olds who were super cute, these kids, but oh God, it was like babysitting. I told them the show is sponsored by Planned Parenthood. They wouldn't stop. But the shows I did were good. I got to do a cruise. I went to St. Thomas, then went from St. Thomas back to Miami, and then out to Grand Cayman, then Honduras, then I flew to Houston, and now I'm in, where am I? I am in Naples, Florida at Off the Hook Comedy Club. I saw some of the fights this week. Some of the fights were great. A lot of great fights. Proud of Uriah Faber. Wow. I mean, how crazy was that? That dude is just, I'm 41, and the dude made me feel really, really old because I was like, man, how did he do that? That was awesome. There were a lot of really good fights last weekend. I was happy for a lot of my friends that got the wins. I like Jermaine de Randamie. Happy she won, but the fight was stopped early. I don't know. I think Herb Dean, I don't know. I think he has a soft spot for women. I hate to say it, but it seems to be, he seems to end those fights a little quicker than other fights. Josh Emmett, Mirsad Bektik. Oh, that dude is so good. But these Sacramento people really step up. Some people don't fight as well when they're kind of on their home turf. They get nervous and they got to get everyone tickets and everyone's a pain in the ass. In fact, one of my friends went to go see me on the first time I did Leno, and I didn't even know who was there. And I was so appreciated because I had other friends that went to the green room and ate it and ate all the food and yada yada. So I give it says a lot when you don't ask for things. That's actually like whenever I go support someone or I know someone has a big deal or a big show, I don't want to be that guy to ask them for tickets. I know they just have enough. And I appreciate that when people don't ask me for stuff when I have big stuff. But yeah, there was some great fights, and I was proud. I was proud of Faber. I was proud of what else happened. Andre Feely. Wow, did he look amazing? This is a whole different Andre Feely. A whole different Andre Feely. Juliana Pena. Good for her. Girl had a baby, lost the first round. She's got character. She's got toughness. Ryan Hall. Oh, Darren Elkins. I love Darren Elkins. He just couldn't. He just got hurt. I don't think he was expecting that kick. I wasn't. Everyone, you think of Uriah Hall, you don't think of kicks. Next thing I know, he hurts him. Darren Elkins. Oh, man. How do you train for a guy like Uriah Hall? Who do you bring in to emulate what Uriah Hall is going to do? I don't know anybody. I mean, that dude is just a – he's a beast. But I was happy for Feely. I was happy for Faber. Happy for Jermaine, because I think that she gets a bad rap because of the Holly Holm fight and because she didn't fight Cyborg. She is awesome. She is tough. She just, I don't know, maybe didn't hear the bell or really wanted to keep fighting. But Jermaine Durandamé is an awesome fighter, and I was happy she's back on the winning track, because I think she was getting a lot of hate from people, and I've spoken to her, and she's cool as shit. She's a warrior. This chick was doing kickboxing back in the day when there was no money in kickboxing. There's still probably no money in kickboxing, but she just does it out of love. She's a cool chick, that girl. I'm a fan. And as much as I'm happy for Uriah Faber, I'm happy they didn't give him the title shot, because beating Ricky Simone does not grant you a title shot. And I'm happy, because that would have been ridiculous. If they just would have put him up against Cejudo, as much as I'd like to see it and it'd be fun, come on. In fact, it should be TJ Dillashaw versus Faber. That should be the fight. Teacher versus student. Old man versus young man. Cheater versus non-cheater. That's a fight I want to see. Who wouldn't see that? I'd go see it. This week, Rafael Dos Anjos is fighting Leon Edwards. Tough fight. I think Rafael, based on how he looked against Kevin Lee, I got to go for him. Wal Harris, my man. I think he's going to knock out Alexei Olnik. I do. He seems to be undefeated against white guys. Juan Adams versus Greg Hardy. This is the fight I'm looking forward to. Juan Adams hates Greg Hardy. Fucking hates him. And Greg Hardy is an easy guy to hate based on his past. Look, everyone deserves a second chance, maybe. I don't know. Do they deserve a second chance? I mean, do murderers deserve second chances? Not that Hardy's a murderer, but I mean, he did beat up a woman. I mean, or allegedly, or some shit went down where he got kicked out of the NFL. I'm not a fan. But this Juan Adams guy, I am a fan. He's pretty funny, too. Dan Hooker versus James Vick. That's a great fight. Dan Hooker is a guy that you have to murder to stop. And James Vick's the same way. Hooker's got the advantage in striking. No, Vick's got the advantage in striking. Hooker's got the advantage, I think, on the ground. I think, but Vick's pretty good on the ground. And Vick's been practicing Kung Fu. Kung Fu! The legend continues. Can't wait for that fight. Arlovsky versus Rothwell. I don't know who wins that fight. Ben Rothwell, man, he got popped for, I think, PEDs. He should win this fight, but who knows? I mean, these guys, this is like a Bellator main event. Bruce Leroy, come on, man. He's the best 14-11 fighter in the UFC. Raquel Pennington, got to root for Raquel. That's my girl against Aldana. I like Aldana, but Raquel's my girl. Smiling Sam is also my guy. I don't know who Kidston and Brew is, but come on, Smiling Sam. Last time it was Angry Sam. He got really pissed that fight was stopped. But you can't get not. You can't. I know that fight should not have been stopped, but you can't fight like that. Ray Borg, my man, fighting Gabriel Silva. Got to go with Borg. That dude is going through a much bigger fight than what's on in the octagon with his son, and I like that guy a lot. There's a lot of good fights coming up. That's this Saturday. Anyway, we're talking to Heather Jo Clark. Let's talk to Heather. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Check it out.
Beautiful, sweet. Heather Jo Clark, how are you?
I'm fine, okay. How are you, Adam?
Good. I saw that you, by the way, if you don't know, Heather is dating my old wrestling coach, one of my good friends, Connor. You guys live together, right?
Yep.
You guys went on a vacation. I saw him post out, like, I never go on vacations. I'm like a miserable guy. How did you go on a vacation? What happened?
I didn't make him. I just told him that, you know, it's all about balance. And he works. He's a workaholic. He works a lot. And, you know, I commend him for that. But at the same time, you know, I think that you got to find balance. So I got him away, and we went to Tulum for like 4 days, and it was amazing.
What's Tulum?
Tulum is right under Cancun, so it's in Mexico. It's a beautiful little village. They have these like cenotes, which are these fresh water, like little cave, ponds kind of, I guess. We went scuba diving, which was his first time. It was amazing.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
You're teaching my man culture, which is great.
Yes.
Which is great. Now, by the way, I went back and what are you up to? Because I was looking at your last fight. I watched it again yesterday. It was a great fight, by the way. Very smart fight on your part. It was like the rounds were very close, and then you got takedowns, I think, in the first and the second with like 20 seconds to go. You shot a great double. I'm a great
Thank
person
you.
I've ever seen you shoot a double in my life. It was a great, beautiful double. I think
well,
second. So
Thank you. Yeah, it was smart. I'd been off for a little bit, and you know, had to change camps, and I moved to a different state. My coach that I'd been working with, Mark Montoya, like told me like the week before the fight that he wasn't going to be able to corner me because he had a last minute fight. He had to go with Anthony Smith to Germany. He was fighting the next day after me. So, you know, James Krause ended up cornering me with Connor, and you know, so there was a lot of things. You know, my coach had passed away the year before, and there was a lot of emotions going into that fight. So I gasped a little bit in the third. I think, you know, I tried to stay centered and everything, but I definitely had some emotions that were subconscious, I think, in there that allowed me to gasp. And, you know, again, I had to play it smart and get the win. And yeah, it was a good win for me.
Have you worked with James Krause before?
No. I'd met him, you know, several times working for Guard Lab before. And then, you know, he came up and was working because he trained at Factory X as well, you know, for some of his camps and stuff. So I'd met him there. He'd showed me something on the ground once, but I'd never like hit pads with him or anything. So the first time I ever hit pads with him was just a few days before my fight.
So you had a guy coaching in your corner who had no idea how you fight.
Correct.
I mean, but
he did know Mark Montoya's style, and he had talked to him. Mark, you know, filled him in on what the game plan was. James had also worked with Robert Fallis, so he kind of knew what Robert's style was, and I was kind of working with both, you know, both those styles for that fight. So it ended up working really well. James was a great, great corner. He was able to really, you know, kind of stay calm and keep me in that headspace, because I feel like when I have a corner that's like screaming at me, I don't do well. And so his style matched with my ability to stay calm and collected. So he, you know, it worked out. And then, you know, I had Connor there too, so that was helpful.
Now, a lot of your fights that were decisions, they didn't go your way, but they could have went your way. Your Felice fight, a couple other fights. Were you worried going into when they're announcing the judges, like, oh, no, they might not give it to me?
You know, you never know, obviously, but I definitely felt like I did enough to win. So at that moment, I was thinking that I won. But, you know, if I had lost, I think I would have been – you know, a little bit bummed, but would have been proud with my performance anyway. And the thing that, you know, that I was able to come back and do that. It was also the first fight my dad wasn't there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my dad had been in my corner for every fight, obviously not the one in The Ultimate Fighter, but every other fight. And so he basically was protesting against me fighting still because I have this plate in my eye, my orbital, that one of the doctors I saw told me that it could possibly like blind me if I broke one of the bones in my face. So he was against me fighting and wasn't going to be there. So, you know, there's a lot of things, but yeah, I feel like, you know, I was able to pull through, and I was on momentum, you know, after that fight to fight Mizuki in the co-main event in November of last year. And then I was like kind of getting ready for that fight. I was drilling, flow sparring with one of the guys at Factory X, an amateur 55-pound guy, and motherfucker lit me up for no damn reason. I was super pissed. You know, he didn't drop me, didn't stumble me or anything, but definitely was going a little bit hard. And I was really upset about it because there was like no fucking reason to do it. And then we fast forward to a little over 10 months from that happening. And I've been dealing with a major brain injury from it.
Brain injury?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you guys are sparring, flow sparring, which means.
Not even sparring. It was like tech sparring, basically.
So like 30%, 20% kind of?
Yeah. Supposed to be. Yeah.
And the guy just started just pounding on you?
Yeah, he just lit me up. He just threw several combinations that were very fast and hard. And I think it, you know, it was a combination of like the speed of snapping my head back. I don't know, you know, you know, I tried so many times since then to like figure out if it was one certain punch or whatever, but it was so hard to tell. You know, I've talked to several people, gone to several doctors, neurologists. I went, the UFC actually flew me out to Vegas. I saw the Cleveland Clinic. They're doing a fighter study there, and I'd previously done a couple MRIs there, you know, just for the study. So they had something to look, you know, years back and see like if anything had changed in my brain, and, you know, nothing had changed. So there was a lot that they could tell me, which is pretty amazing that they have over 700 fighters in that study and really don't have that much information from that, which is insane. But yeah, he, you know, I think it might've been accumulation of punches. You know, a couple weeks before that I was sparring.
That was it with like, was it big gloves or small gloves?
We were in big gloves.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so, did the coach say anything? Did you tell him, what are you doing?
Yeah. It was the last round. So it was like 2 minutes. We were doing these 2 minute tech sparring rounds, or Mark called float. And he was actually about 10 feet away from me when it happened. He said he saw the end of it. And he said, I was like, what the fuck? You know, I was pissed. And then I walked over to Mark and I was like, I don't know what the fuck that was about, but that's not okay. Like, that's not cool that he did that. And then Mark's like, oh, well, let me go talk to him. So Mark goes to talk to him. Next thing I know, I'm like, I'm on the bench, you know, getting my gear off. And he comes over to me and he's like, hey, you know, taps me on the back with one arm and says, good sparring. And I think he was supposed to be saying, sorry, I didn't mean to go that hard. But, you know, the little ass still hasn't to this day said a word to me. I've been in the gym a couple times, shooting pictures, and one time I brought a friend over there, you know, and I've seen him and he just doesn't say a word to me, and he knows damn right that he was the one that caused this. So, you know, again, I can't necessarily blame it just on him. I mean, I gotta say, you know, it's been a long journey and many punches to the head, and some doctors think that it's the accumulation, you know. I did get rocked a little bit a couple weeks before that from a girl I was sparring with on one of Pat Barry's classes. And, you know, she just did this overhand bomb and rocked me. And so, you know, again, I don't know if it was accumulation of that or it's so hard to tell. But, man, Adam, it's been debilitating. You know, I've had a headache literally every single day for almost 11 months now. I sought out specialists, headache specialists. I've done, you know, concussion training, rehabilitation stuff at CU, which is the Colorado State, you know, University. And I mean, I've literally done everything. I've been on all types of medications to prevent the headaches, and all of those didn't work. So eventually they actually allowed me to do, the insurance paid for a Botox therapy, which is, they do like, I think it was like 23 injections all over your head and your neck, and it's supposed to prevent headaches. So when I did that, I actually got a little bit of relief. You know, my headaches weren't as bad as they were before that, and so I was able to get back in the gym and start lifting weights a little bit. Now we're 6 weeks into that treatment, 7 weeks into that treatment, and the migraines are coming back, the headaches are getting worse. So I go back for my next injection in August, and I'm like literally counting the days, because
does the marijuana help or no?
It doesn't. You know, it basically, well, it doesn't help with the headaches. What it does help is with my anxiousness, my kind of like, what's the word? Just kind of irritability, you know, that I've had, you know, and I think a lot of fighters have that irritability. It's definitely a symptom from brain trauma, which I think every fighter has, you know, and that irritability does get help by smoking weed. And I think a lot of fighters smoke weed or eat weed or whatever for that. And so again, yeah, that helps, but it doesn't help with the headaches. So yeah.
Now when you went home and told Connor about what happened, did he go to the gym and try to fight the guy?
So the plan was, like, that was, like, I think a Tuesday. It was actually 9/11 of all days. super easy to remember, obviously. But I think it was like a Tuesday. And so Friday is sparring at Factory X, and Connor's plan was to go down there and beat the shit out of him. And Mark was like, you know, okay, yeah, like that's how we work these things out. Let him beat his ass and then he'll learn his lesson. So Mark was all good about it. But then Friday came. I thought that I was just, you know, dealing with a small concussion. I was like, oh, well, we'll just go next Friday. I'll be better. I'll be training again and we'll go together. It's stupid for you to go if I'm not going, that kind of thing. So Friday came, we didn't go. The next Friday came, we didn't go. And then actually Connor tore his AC separation in his shoulder, you know, skateboarding with his dog. So it was no longer an option to beat his ass. But
Oh my God.
Yeah, maybe in the future.
Nah, you're better off letting it go, I guess.
He keeps saying, he's like, let him do his pro debut against me, Heather. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know. You know.
I don't know if anybody would, like, sanction that.
That's what I said. Yeah. So.
I did got to say, during your fight, though, you went for the head and arm again. What's going on with his head and arm?
Head and arm from the standing?
Yeah, I said no more.
I
head
did?
And arm. Yeah, that's okay. It's all good.
I don't remember that. I think it's just a bad habit, obviously. But
By the way, I think you're undefeated against girls with chest tattoos. Because this girl has chest tattoo. Rowdy Beck had a chest tattoo.
Oh goodness.
You should only fight girls with chest tattoos.
Okay, I'll let them know. You know that they gotta have that. No. So, you know, in terms of am I done, am I not, I don't know. You know, every day I hope that I'm going to wake up better. And so far it hasn't happened. You know, Connor's really pushing me to like, well, I think if you just say you're retired, then you'll start to get better. You're come to terms with it. This is an emotional thing. And I'm like, how about not?
Yeah,
so, you know, I'm just taking it day to day. One of my pet peeves is people that say they're retired just to get the attention, you know, the woe is me type shit, and then they come back like a year later. You know, it's different if it's like Uriah Faber and he comes back 3 years later because he's, you know, they're fighting in his hometown, and okay, and then he goes and knocks someone out. Well, maybe he thinks about doing another fight. You know, so there are exceptions or whatever, but I'm just trying to get better, and that's my focus. It's not necessarily anywhere else. So, yeah.
Are you sparring at all?
No, man. I haven't been able to train at all. Like, haven't been back.
Like, no jiu-jitsu either?
You know, obviously, you know, Connor and I opened 10th Planet Denver back in November, which was a blessing, I guess, that we created that something out of, you know, this horrible thing that happened to me. Because I would have been fighting in November. There was no way we would have been able to open the gym. It was something we, you know, we both wanted to do for a long time. And so we were able to open it. And, you know, we have over 80 members now.
Wow.
In less than a year. So that's something that's been taking up my time is coaching. You know, it's a new thing to be called coach. And I really like it. And I really enjoy coaching next to him. And, you know, it's been definitely hard on our relationship, but it's something that's making our relationship stronger because we get through these things.
Why,
you know,
is it hard?
Yeah, because he's got his way and I got my way. We both have been, you know, he's got his way that he's been taught this wrestling thing. You know, for instance, okay, Connor started wrestling at 4 years old. I started wrestling at 28. So I understand when we get adults that have like no idea, have never done wrestling, never done jujitsu, and they're like, you know, they don't, I remember what that was like, you know, because I was an adult. Whereas Connor is like, he walked into jujitsu with a full wrestling background, wrestling in college, wrestling in high school. His dad was his wrestling coach. He had this amazing, you know, skill. So when he started jujitsu, he wasn't getting tapped left and right. He was able to, he was basically a blue belt, right?
Yeah.
So he doesn't understand what it is to be a white belt. And so oftentimes I have to kind of take him back a little bit. Like, he gets ahead of himself. He's a phenomenal coach, but he just gets so excited and gets ahead of himself. And I'm like, okay, we need to take that back 12 steps.
The problem I had a little with 10th Planet in general was, like, I was learning these crazy, fancy electric chair sweeps. But I'm like, all right, how do I do a triangle? I have to do just a guillotine. Like, this is great, but I'm learning this great 10-step move, but
yeah.
I just want to know a very basic move, and then we'll go from there. I think wrestling, it's like, you can't just jump into a wrestling class. Like, you can't just jump into, like, a high school wrestling class in like, the middle of the season and expect to catch on. Like,
right.
a guy will take you to the corner and show you some very, you know, stance and doubles
yeah.
and singles, and eventually
yeah.
you'll be able to join. Whereas jiu-jitsu, like, it's just, like, one continuous class. So people just join it, like, at like level 9 and eventually
yeah.
try to come go back. But I think that there has to be a better way.
Well, we are going to be starting a fundamental class soon. So that, I think that's going to help a lot too. So people that are brand new can come to that and at least get a base before they get into the other class, which is, again, is all levels. But,
yes.
you know, for instance, you know, he'll be showing a wrestling move, and he's like, okay, you know, this is going to be a Russian 2-on-1 to this. And it's like, he'll show that. And that's enough for one class, is just getting the Russian. And then he's like, we're going to do the Russian. We're going to do snatch to the single. You're going to do the dump. Then we're going to do the fireman's, you know, and we're going to, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, slow down, you know, but it's the same thing. I'm like, no. You know, you don't get it. It's like, and then the next day, we're supposed to be reviewing that last move. And he's like, but he changes it ever so slightly. And he's like, but it's the same thing. And I'm like, to you, it's the same thing. But to everybody else, it's not. Look around. People are, you know. So it's really good, actually. I think we complement each other real well. I think people, they get a kick out of it for sure. And they see that, you know, we both have a lot of skills, but that I kind of can be a little bit more relatable to them because I've been there. And again, I did start as an adult. So yeah, I we complement each other in that sense, but it's been hard because I think Connor, you know, thinks that like I'm questioning his skill or his abilities when it's not that. It's just, we need to break, you know, break it down a little bit more. And so, yeah, it's been fun. You know, we have some amazing students. We actually won Naga this year.
Wow.
As a team. Yeah. We won Naga. It was hilarious. We get this box in the gym and he's like, what is this? We, you know, we didn't order anything. Maybe somebody won a belt and they had to send it to him. So he opens the box. It's this big trophy. And he's like, I have never seen Connor so happy in the almost 2 years we've been together. He picks up this trophy and he's like, yes, oh my God. You know, and he's screaming and everyone's looking at him and just with their mouth dropped, like, holy shit. Like, you know, I got some of it on camera. I posted, if you're interested in seeing it, go to our Instagram page. I posted his reaction. It was hilarious. But we just won another tournament this weekend called Colorado Jiu-Jitsu Club. And as a team, you know, we brought 22 competitors. And, yeah, we won that as well. So it's amazing.
That's great. No, I remember coaching with him. He had a torn ACL, and he would sit on the sidelines. And I would coach, and I'd look over. He'd be like, wrong. I'm like, thanks, buddy. Like, I'm teaching like a 10-year-old with all their faith in me, and he's just yelling, wrong.
I'm going to try that today. No, I'm just kidding.
And then at the time, he may have been, like, doing some other stuff that was not legal, and he, like, accused one kid of, like, I think this kid's smoking weed. I'm like, you probably sold it to him, like, directly. So, yeah, Connor.
So you know my pain. No, I'm just kidding. He's,
yeah,
but
he's got a huge heart, though, huge heart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what, you know what, more than anything, the reason why our students are doing so well is because of his heart, because he cares, because, you know, his consistency. And you know, we do a quote of the day. We show, you know, a lot of compassion for our students. And that, I think, you know, we show up at the tournaments to coach them and everything. And this is what, you know, the community, it's like that believe to believe is, you know, if we believe in them, it really helps them to believe in themselves and they grow and they get better. And that's something that I learned from my coach, Robert Follis. I've never had a coach care for me so much that it gave me tremendous confidence in myself and allowed me to shine brighter than I'd ever had. So, that's something that we really, you know, take pride in, and being a community that we don't allow any bullying, we don't allow any, you know, any egos on the mat, and that's something that our students really care about as well, and so it's great. There's no cliques, there's no drama. And then on top of it, we've actually been gifted the opportunity to also coach the MMA team at Genesis, which, you know, Nate Mark Court's in there. He's not fighting anymore, but he's in the class. We got a couple Bellator guys. You know, Rose Namajunas is going to be joining shortly, and JJ Aldridge and,
wow,
and stuff like that. So it's really cool because, you know, I would have been really upset if I wouldn't have been able to continue to use the knowledge that I have. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge from, you know, training at two of the best camps in the world, Jackson Winks and Extreme Couture, and just passing that on to these fighters. And at first, you know, they kind of looked at me, you know, they were like, who the hell is this girl think she is? Yeah, she's fought in the UFC a couple times, but and it's changed over the last few months. You know, they really respect me, and they listen, and then they pull off the move that I showed them, and they're like, oh my God, okay, this girl knows, you know, she knows what she's talking about. So yeah, the transition into coaching it was crazy that it kind of happened at the exact moment that I needed it, because, you know, Adam, if I didn't, and I, you know, I obviously can't work right now. I don't know if I'm going to wake up with a migraine or not. And, you know, so having this opportunity to be of service and to be of help with my knowledge is such a blessing.
That sounds good. Now, I read that 95% of gyms fail as far as not being able to make money. And how are you guys able to not fail?
Well, we have been profitable since the first month, and that was because we played our cards right. We rented a space in another gym. We're on our third space right now because we've been pretty much outgrown the other spaces. And, you know, so we keep our expenses low. We have we actually, believe it or not, with 80-plus members, we haven't done any marketing outside of just posting on Facebook, Instagram, things like that. And, you know, it's hilarious. When we ask people how they heard about us, can you guess what they say?
Their friends.
Joe Rogan.
Really?
Yes, because 10th Planet, you know, with, you know, everyone listens to fucking Joe Rogan. If you're into MMA or martial arts, like, you listen to Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan always has Eddie on the show. He talks about 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, and there's only three 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu schools in Colorado. One's in Colorado Springs, which is about an hour and a half from us. One is in Boulder, and then us. And Connor's the only black belt because the other two schools are brown belts. And Connor's not only a black belt, but a black belt under Eddie. So people gravitate towards us, but literally we're like, how'd you hear about us? Joe Rogan. We're like, oh my God.
That's great.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Now, I know that you came from, I know like Extreme Couture and some places you came from, they were kind of like, they weren't really buying, or even Drysdale, not really buying into the Eddie Bravo system at first. They were kind of like, you know, just sort of like, who's this guy, yada, yada, you know, Spider Guard and Rubber Guard doesn't really work. Has it been hard for you to kind of buy into the 10th Planet system from where you come from?
No, because I've actually been training 10th Planet on and off for many years. I, you know, being from L.A., I would go and train with Eddie at HQ. Anytime that I would come home from Albuquerque or from Extreme Couture and go to LA, I'd always train with Eddie. And so I really liked the system. I never learned Rubber Guard because, you know, I've always been taught in MMA, you don't play on the bottom. And so I didn't really, and still to this day, I don't tell guys to use Rubber Guard in MMA unless they're masters, unless they're, you know, Tony Ferguson's or Connor, you know, Connor Hune. But like, let's use our skills to get on top and play the 10 Planet system on top. I still am not a big believer in that for MMA. I think there's time, you know, Coach Fallis used to say, you can never say never. There's always going to be a time. Now, if you know, like that fight that I fought with Alexa Grasso and my, I couldn't see out of one eye, you know, would it have been a bad idea to maybe pull guard and work some attacks from the bottom, which I have, I have good arm bars. I have good arm drags with the back and things like that. Would that have been a good plan at that moment? Yeah, absolutely. Because I wasn't doing great in the striking. I was scared as fuck to get knocked out at that moment because I couldn't see. So there's always moments that, you know, these things and having these skills are going to be beneficial to you. And I think in the straight jiu-jitsu game, it's phenomenal. I mean, you know, that rubber guard game and stuff is awesome.
Right. No, it's true. You see some guys pull it off. Some guys pull it off, but then
yeah.
I think other times you see a lot more guys try to pull it off and then get smashed.
Yeah.
Than guys that actually pull it off. Maybe because they like stress it more.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah. It's like, you know, if you're a master at it, then by all means use it. But if you're not, then yeah, you're putting yourself in a really bad position. And then the way that the judges score these fights, you know, regardless if you're attacking and not even getting hit, but you're on the bottom and you don't finish, then you've lost the round.
Have you thought about entering any kind of tournaments?
You know, that's definitely in the future. You know, I would love to do EBI. I would love to do even combat jiu-jitsu. I don't think people would be able to hit me with my knowledge of ground and pound and being able to stay safe. So it's something that I definitely want to do in the future. And, you know, would I love to do some of these like fight to win professional, matches and stuff where you get paid a little bit of money and stuff. Yeah. You know, that's definitely happening. When, who knows? Cause I got to get better first.
Do you miss being the ripped Heather? Cause I remember like when you start training, you get like jacked. I mean, you get like hand jobs galore where you just like
Christ.
What
does that even mean?
I'm just saying it looks like you can give a handy in like two stroke squirt. Like
okay. Cause that makes no sense, Adam. But yeah, I definitely feel soft, you know, and thank God I've been able to lift a little bit over the last month. But I won't even wear shorts right now. Like,
come on, why not?
Because I don't like the softness. I don't feel comfortable in my own skin at the moment. I swear. I know it's a body dysmorphia. It's
women would love to have your body.
Well, I appreciate that, but you know we're all it's like I'm used to being fit like my whole life. I've been an athlete my whole life and active, and so I have this idea of what to me I feel comfortable with. And you know, I'm not bulimic, I'm not anorexic. I still eat stuff probably I shouldn't because I'm trying to lose weight, but at the same time too, it's like I feel like I'm skinny fat. So if I were to do a bunch of cardio and get rid of all that cellulite on my legs, then I would look like a pencil, and then
a girl with a little junk in the trunk. I mean,
well, and that's why I haven't been doing a ton of cardio on top of the fact that I can't get my heart rate above 150 without like literally feeling like I'm going to pass out. I know it's fucking crazy. Like I'll be doing single leg squats or whatever, and I have to like sit down before I can do like the other leg. It's insane. I'm just it's hard. Connor's been, you know, he's been amazing. He's always, you know, trying to.
But he likes a big ass. I know Connor.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, and that's why I don't want to do a bunch of cardio and lose my ass. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just doing the heavy lifting and trying to build before I can cut. So, you know,
what's up with his beard now though? Does he still have that beard?
He has a beard. It's not super long. It's like a short beard.
Yeah, tell him to not do that. It looks like he just did that like face app, but like in like real life.
He did that yesterday. I'll have him send it to you. It's so funny. He's like, did you do it, Heather? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not doing it. I was like, that can tell me what I'm gonna look like, but fuck that shit. I'm gonna look better than that. So I don't even want
to tell you when I got so mad at him because he came to my show and heckled me.
Yeah,
I brought him there. And then he punched my friend in the car ride home. He got so drunk. He started punching my friend, like, yeah, this is funny. And my friend's like, It's like this nerdy guy that like school teacher that's like getting punched by a professional fighter.
Oh my God. Well, you know, he hasn't drank since December.
Oh, wow.
He gave up alcohol for this year, and you know, we'll see what happens next year. But that was something he decided. Obviously, I'm allergic to alcohol. I don't drink either. He's also went vegan. So, you know, big changes for Connor. He's a new man. He, you know, when we met, he had like all his vitamins and minerals and all that shit tested, and stuff was low. And then he went vegan, and everything's like normal now. So it's pretty crazy.
I had so much fun coaching with him. One time we had a match where it was like our third match, and some random black kid shows up, and he's like, "I'm here for the match." And I was like, "Connor, have you ever seen this kid before?" He's like, "Never." And then someone's like, "I don't think he goes to our school."
Oh my gosh.
And then Connor wanted to throw him in. I'm like, we can't let him wrestle. The kid literally just showed up.
That's hilarious.
Connor's like, "I like your style."
That's not far from how he is now. We get guys with like 1 week, 2 weeks, and he's like, You're competing this weekend?
Yeah, we had so much fun. I mean, I honestly had, it was me, him, and Dan Hardy.
Oh, I love like, Dan Hardy.
And like Toby Greer. I don't know Toby.
Toby.
and then Einstein, Scott Epstein. That was our wrestling class.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Connor was like, he was legit one of the funniest people I ever met in my life. He was a good dude. Like one time there was like one of my exes wanted to hook up with him. And I was like, "Yeah, I think my ex likes you." And he's like, "I would never hook up with your ex." And I was like, "That's awesome." Like most guys like, would have like, you know, would have banged her.
Yeah, he's like, "At least I will, but I won't tell you about it."
No, he wouldn't. Connor's like, he's one of those dudes that like, he's the kind of guy that also, if I ever had like a dead body, he'd be on my top five.
Oh God. Oh God. Don't do it, Adam. Don't do it.
No, I'm not going to kill somebody. I'm just saying I would call him. And then one time we had this roast. We roasted like Octomom, a bunch of like the mistresses of like Tiger Woods. And it was Tila Tequila, just like the worst people you could met. And then Connor came with his girlfriend at the time, who then got mad at him because these are the kind of girls he would go for. Like,
right?
She was yelling at him for that. Like, he didn't even do anything.
Oh man, that's funny.
Good times. So cool. Well, Heather. So I don't know what to expect. You sound like you're in a happy, good place. Like you're happy.
Well, yes and no. You know, I'm not happy not being able to do what I love ultimately the most, and that's fighting, and training for fighting. I enjoy both. I really enjoy the whole training for a fight and getting in there and testing my abilities, you know, my body and spirit, and not having that has been really hard. But like I said, I am blessed to have this amazing gym and this community of people behind me that look up to me. And, you know, so that has really been like tremendous. But yeah, I want to get better. So if anyone's listening and has any feedback on what I should do to help these headaches, you know, everyday headaches and stuff, I'm all ears. You know, we got on top of this, something I wanted to mention was a good friend of mine, Rudy Morales, you know, the guy who started the Believe to Believe movement. He's suffering from a lung disease right now that he doesn't even know how he got it. And, you know, he actually thinks he might be dealing with the concussion symptoms similar to me as well, on top of this lung disease. But we recently put up a GoFundMe. Adam will post it. I know that he's already donated, so I appreciate that, Adam. And you know, if you can help Rudy out at all, he's trying to get this treatment in Arizona that is not something that the insurance will pay for. So with this treatment, you know, I think it's like a stem cell treatment or something. There's been all like 95% rate that he can recover from this and whatnot. So, you know, Rudy's really inspirational guy, goes out of his way to help people constantly.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, tremendous fighter, fought for Bellator, fought for World Series of Fighting or Pro Fighters League, I guess it is now. You know,
Tabate too.
Tabate, correct. And, you know, he also started his own promotion, Real Water MMA. This is a guy that basically was brought over here from Guatemala and has fought his whole life to get to where he is. Nothing was given to him, but he, you know, really has put in the work and made the impossible possible for himself. So if you can spare $5, everything helps. Even just sharing the GoFundMe is helping. So, you know, everybody, please think about doing that, because that would be very, really great to do.
Got it. Well, thank you, Heather. Always good talking to you. When are you back in LA? Anytime soon?
I don't know. You know, there was something out there that I wanted to come out for. I can't remember. But, yeah, hopefully we'll be out there soon. I think there's a 10th Planet big seminar thing going on we might be coming out for. I'm not sure when that is. But definitely let you know. You know, you're always welcome up here. We'd love to have you and, you know, get you doing some comedy for our gym. I guarantee we could get a private show and people would pay for that. So if that's
I'm in. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm totally in.
Yeah, that'd be great. Cool.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Heather. Tell Connor, but give him my best. And
I will.
And have some kids.
No kids. We'll take yours off your hands and babysit, and then we'll remember why we don't want to have kids.
Absolutely.
No, not that she's a doll. She's a doll. She's, you know, one of the most beautiful babies I've ever seen, by the way. She's so cute.
I know.
Super cute.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Awesome.
Well,
thank you,
Adam.
I appreciate your time, and hopefully see you soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, that was Heather Joe Clark. So I hope we learned a lot. Love Heather. Great personality. Great fighter. Tough breaks. But there's a girl that she should be coaching. She's a great coach. Girl thinks too much. If you know Heather, she is a warrior. She thinks too much. She's in her head. She's a beautiful person. There's a good girl that should be coaching. And I'm happy that she's with Connor. Connor's one of my good old friends. I should have invited him to my wedding. That's something Connor, if you're listening to this, sorry if you didn't get the invite. I love you, man. And Heather, too. Both of them. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast. It's on Rockfin, R-O-K-F-I-N. If you enjoy it, make sure you endorse me. Tell everyone to endorse me. I'll keep putting stuff up. You keep listening, I'll keep putting stuff up. Thank you guys so much. Take care. Bye-bye.